This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Our Matrix server is about as free as internet chat can be. Join the existing rooms or create your own at chat.freetalklive.com.
That you control. 603-283-6160 is the phone number for you to call to get in on the conversation with us. That's 603-283-6160. And with you in the studio tonight, you've got me, Bonnie,
Jay,
and Joa.
And Jay wanted to tell you about in Acapulco.
Yes, so from February 11th to 16th is going to be the 10th annual Anarchapulco Freedom Anarchist Conference. It's they're calling it the Anarchapulco Reborn. So I will be presenting down there on investing in our posterity. I'll be talking about a lot of the things you hear me talk about. You know, I'll be talking about what the internet is doing to your children's brain, how it's rewiring it. Solutions for teenagers, getting teenagers off the internet. You know, it's an extremely addictive drug. I also trying to put together an actual blacksmithing workshop down there. I can't promise that yet, but I'm trying to come up with some locally sourced tools. And that was probably a little easier before the hurricane happened that came through.
That's awesome.
The hotels are all stating they're going to be open in January. Many of the hotels are planning on being open for Christmas. You know, the Christmas season is huge in Acapulco for, you know, the local Mexicans. They're very much about their holidays. So, there's going to be a lot of great speakers there. There's going to be a lot of information. It's going to be a lot of fun. And if you want to buy tickets to Anarchapulco, please use coupon code JAY. That's coupon code J, and you will get 10% off your tickets.
Nice.
Hope to see you there.
Sounds fun.
I've never been, but I watched the Anarchists, the HBO story or miniseries about it, and it definitely sounds fun. Just like going to Mexico sounds fun, too, and everybody says Acapulco, because I think that's how you say it, is a really pretty place. So, yeah, if you want to do that, just use coupon code J, and then it will help J out. So, in the last segment, we were talking about copyright and Mickey Mouse's original character, Steamboat Willie, which is so weird. Like, he had a whole different name. Like, why'd they change it? Is becoming not copyrighted anymore. So, you can get that story at fox59.com, but I think Joa had an interesting subject he wanted to bring up about the movie.
Oh, the movie, yes.
That Obama apparently
Leave the World Behind.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I didn't really actually even know anything about the movie. I didn't know.
You watched it, though. Right?
Yeah, but I didn't no idea it was actually funded by Obama or anything. So I went into it completely biased. I just started to watch it because it had some good known actors, like Julia Roberts and Kevin Bacon and Ethan Hawke, a few other people, well-known people. But the movie was good overall, I've got to say. But the thing is that it was clearly a warning to the public. Like, what's going to happen? I don't want to spoil it too much and kind of warning if you want to see it. I don't want to spoil it for you because you kind of want to go into it with a surprise.
Yeah.
But it seemed like they really did want to sort of let us know that not particularly how the movie went down would be the way things happen, but, you know, an imminent, like, attack could occur in all kinds of directions, and how are you prepared? These are all kind of things that get brought up in the movie, and, it's up to you guys to be prepared if something happens. And Let's just say you just had to prepare for like 2 weeks. Are you even prepared for 2 weeks?
Yeah.
So, and how are you prepared is a different prescription for everyone.
Yeah, in the prepping sense, that's one thing, but in a mental sense, like, are you mentally prepared to deal with this for a month, maybe?
And yeah, I mean, there's a big difference between, you know, living in a condo in a city to where, you know, you're literally getting Uber Eats every day, or do you live out on a farm, you know, that's off-grid in the middle of nowhere? Like, for example, this morning I was at a farm, Bardo Farm. You know, they're an off-grid farm, basically in the middle of nowhere. You know, you would have to probably leave Bardo Farm to realize, you know, that it's hitting a fan. For example, but like, you know, even my place is, you know, if the power goes out, you know, we have a plan, we have ideas. Like, you know, one of the first things that we're going to start doing when the power goes out is we're going to start pressure canning a lot of meat.
Yeah,
like meat in freezers, for example. And the other thing too is if infrastructure stops right away, you know, one of the reasons I have three rabbits, for example, one male rabbit and two female rabbits. And if those rabbits, we're going to start breeding rabbits right now, as part of the plan too, because you can, you know, produce a lot of rabbit meat pretty quick. Rabbits, you know, sure. You know, reproduce very, very fast. Joe, you got rabbit experience.
Yep.
And then we also have been practicing. So one of the things that I think New Hampshire is a really great place to be when it hits the fan, especially if it happens in like January and you're in rural New Hampshire, you know, these city people aren't going to make it to your farm to aggravate you if there's no fuel, if they can't run their cars, they're going to freeze to death before they get there.
It's too fat to walk a mile.
And well, yeah, most of the city people. Oh yeah. Like right now, 42% of Americans are like obese.
Yep. We were talking about yesterday. They're trying to make fat phobia illegal in Colorado.
Oh yeah.
The skinniest state, which is that's like the weirdest part.
And Colorado has just gone totally off the rails.
I think people would go hungry because they're not willing to even kill the animal.
Well,
I feel like that's going to be a big percentage of population.
Well, like, you mean like a dog? Because, I mean, that's not the difference between life and death. Like, it's not like if I eat coconut, I'll survive 10 more years. And if I don't, it's like, there's
a lot of reasons. I'm not talking about things that have been domesticated. I'm talking about, like, you know, if you see a wild rabbit, are you going to be able to... Or non-domesticated farmed rabbit, right?
I mean,
and you could, are you going to be able to harvest it? Are you going to be able to take care of it, you know, to be able to prep it for food and everything?
I wouldn't even be able to catch one, if I'm being honest.
Actually, I can't catch a rabbit. I mean, I can, I can knock one out with a stick.
I could use coconut to catch a rabbit, maybe.
Maybe.
I mean, when I was in Colorado, we used to pick off rabbits all the time with a 22. You know, so, and
I'm just thinking, like, not everyone's going to have a 22. So like,
another thing we had is we had a really good slingshot, and there was this Mexican guy. And every time that we worked on, like, something, we had to replace the bearings, we would take the little ball bearings. Or even the radio bearings, and we put them in a bucket, slingshot ammo, and you know, half a piece of chain link, bearings, like little metal things. And the Mexican guy, he could, like, you know, half the time he would nail the rabbit dead.
Whoa.
And like,
and
you know. We fed them to the dogs mostly, or took them and fed them to his dogs. But actually the rabbits in Colorado, because we were surrounded by alfalfa fields, were really good because they're basically free range alfalfa rabbits. But the problem with a lot of the rabbits is like they're just loaded with parasites.
Oh no.
Yeah. Oh yeah, like wild rabbits. I mean,
yeah,
you better really cook that stuff.
And you know, I am glad that you two are on the show because I was hearing about, there were some free staters that were like all excited and ready to eat a wild bear someone shot.
Yeah.
That's one of the first things I thought. Like, wouldn't that be a very parasite-y animal? Like,
it could.
What do you guys think about that? I just was a little flabbergasted also because I just don't really see the purpose. Like, there are already so many other things for people to eat.
The obvious thing would be just cook it enough.
So just cook it enough. So a lot of animals are loaded with parasites. So, like, for example, one of the reasons turkey season is not in the summer is because in the summertime, the turkeys have generally lots of parasites in them, the wild turkeys. And in the wintertime, they don't, from what I understand. Now, I don't know the end. Well,
yeah.
So they will sort of naturally eat certain things in wild that will kill the parasites. And then they're not picking up the parasites so much in the winter, is what I understand. Maybe somebody could correct me.
I'm going to guess that they're not eating, like, the feces of other animals in the winter.
So basically most animals don't. So what's one of the benefits of, like, rotational grazing? So when, like, you run cows and then you run some sheep on that ground, like, you move the cows off, then run some sheep, and then you run chickens over the ground, and then you run pigs over the ground, the same ground, those animals share, like, you know, don't share the same parasites mostly.
Right.
Now, pigs and humans can share a lot of the same things because they're pretty similar. So when you're doing a different species, where you're really getting into parasite problems with farming is where you have, like, these commercial hog farms where there's, like, you know, 4,000 hogs and, you know, in a 10-acre building.
Yeah, and they never change it out.
You know,
it's always hogs, it's always the same ground.
You have 10,000, you know, cows on, you know, the same feedlot, for example. And
Concrete floors.
A lot of the feedlots are just dirt. But the pigs are definitely, a lot of them are raised on concrete in the commercial facilities.
Isn't that kind of mean? Like, doesn't that hurt them?
I would say it does, but it also, like, wears their hooves down so it's, like, comfortable. So, like, their body's adjusting.
Hmm.
I just think it's, like, it's flat. Like, there's no, the pigs like to burrow and try to, like, you know, make a bed for themselves. Like, they don't really have much opportunity. You got to throw hay in there, and they use that. But it's like concrete floor, you know?
That's just how that's why.
Well,
I just don't,
it's easy to clean. So
I try as hard as I can not to eat, like, meat that is just comes from, you know, just, like, I don't know. I would never just go buy hot dogs at Walmart, for example.
Right. Yeah.
Anything at Walmart's going to be in the grocery store, any commercial grocery store is quite literally going to be, you know, corporate tortured animal.
Yeah.
Is you know what we refer to.
Oh, it says cage free though, Jay. It said cage free.
Well, cage free is usually it's in like a 3-acre barn and there's, you know, 20,000 hens.
You know what cage free sounds like to me? They're so fat they can't even walk. So they don't need a cage. That's what cage free sounds like to me.
Well, I've heard that if you're going to buy eggs at the grocery store, it's important to look for pasture raised, and that's the best.
Yep. Yeah.
So locally here in New Hampshire, we have an outfit called Pete and Jerry's.
Yep.
And they're out of, I believe, Melrose, New Hampshire. So one of my good friends, he raises Pete and Jerry eggs, and he has he does 20,000 chickens. And he has a huge barn. It is like, I don't know, it's like 100 foot wide and like 1,500. It's massive. And he's got 50 acres fenced in all around the barn. And those chickens basically run that 50 acres all summer long.
Nice.
And all winter long. And basically they can go. And so in the wintertime when it's like nasty cold, you know, you'll see a few hundred chickens outside. But, like, definitely, like, in the summertime, like, you go in the barn and it's just about empty. Almost all the chickens are outside during the day. And then they all come back in and they lay eggs. There's a little bit of an issue with that because there's eggs. Yeah, a lot of them end up laying eggs outside.
Oh, yeah, Easter egg hunting.
And so, but he's got a bunch of crows. And what the crows do is they go pick up all the eggs.
Oh, that's,
you know, so he doesn't go outside and pick up the eggs on the ground and, you know, send them to, you know,
customers.
Package them.
Oh.
You just couldn't do it. It was just, you know.
They should have, like, pick, you know, find your own eggs.
Well, yeah, he's actually pretty, like, secure about, you know, biosecurity. Like,
yeah, no, it makes
he doesn't
sense.
Allow anybody, like, in his barn.
You walk in with poopy shoes, you know.
Oh, my goodness. That's
off limit. But anyways, he does a really good job, and, you know, he's a family farm, so, like, Pete and Jerry's, they're expensive eggs. They're, like, $8 a dozen.
I haven't seen these eggs.
I've seen them as low as, like, $6.50-ish.
Where do you get them?
Market Basket, anywhere.
Yeah, they're everywhere.
I don't think I've ever
I don't think they're
brand.
In Walmart. They're definitely in Market Basket. They're in Hannaford. Yep. They're in,
I think they're the most popular egg besides whatever that store brand egg is. Usually the store brand egg always sells better than the rest, but I think Pete and Jerry is the number one selling egg.
Oh, and this guy does rotational grazing also. So when he takes the, he has laying hens for 2 years.
I've seen this. I've bought these before.
And then he has, I forget how much time off, but then he goes with no chickens on his farm. I don't know if it's for a year or for 6 months. But what he does is on that 50 acres, he pastures cows.
Yes.
Yeah, and then he this guy grew up as a pig farmer. So he understands, but he doesn't want to do pigs on his pastures because it's really hard.
Mm-hmm.
But he has another, you know, more, you know, pasture elsewhere at another farm. He also makes a bunch of hay. I mean, he's all by himself, or just employees? So this is one of the guys I buy hay from. I think he is in his 60s.
Wow.
I'm not sure how old he is. Actually, he's way older than he looks because my wife was like, oh, yeah, he said how old he was, and my wife was, like, shocked. She's like, oh, man, I didn't think you were much over 50. And he just starts laughing. He's like, oh, I'm 60-something. You know, she was off by, like, a decade.
Wow.
So he makes a whole bunch of hay. We buy hay from him.
And that's exercise. And
this summer I'm going to get hay from him. I'm showing up there with my, you know, my wife and my two kids. And, you know, they're 3 and 2, and they, you know, my wife drives a truck around, and Cypress, you know, and Cash, they kind of try to help with the hay a little bit. They're really little. So, you know, it's tough, but, his whole hay crew is just a bunch of his farmer neighbors. And like, there's like a 75-year-old woman driving a hay truck. There's like an 82-year-old guy driving a tractor baling the hay.
Wow.
The guy that owns the farm, he's like in his 60s. He's on the wagon stacking the hay. And then there's like a couple other guys. So they stack some of the hay, and then some of the hay they drop on the ground after they get all the hay on the wagons, and they don't have any more wagons. And then we got to go, and I usually go around and pick up that hay off the ground. That's what I buy off them. And then he also has his hay truck, big flatbed truck, and yeah, the woman's like, you know, like I said, she's in her 70s, driving a truck, and then all the like other guys working they're all in their 70s and their 80s, and it's like July. It is hot out. It's 95 degrees, and they're just stacking hay.
And they all look 20.
And one day I come up there with a 14-year-old boy. Lou's his name. He's a great worker, homeschool kid. You know, he's what a kid was 100 years ago.
Cool.
And all of them were like, you found a teenager that can work?
Oh, I was just wondering, do none of these old people have kids that want to help work with them like you?
None of their kids want to work.
Hmm. Wow.
And I tell all these guys, I'm like, you got grandkids? Oh, yeah, we got grandkids. What's going on with them? I'm like, cut them out of the will. Because you cut your kids out of the will because they're not raising your grandkids right, and they all say the same thing. They blame it on the internet devices. They're like, all the kids want to do is play video games. All they want to do is look at
smartphones. They're glued in. They don't want to think about anything else.
And the thing is, too, is, like, so the generation of the 72, you know, to 80-some-odd-year-old farmer, you know, made their kids work, and they worked them hard. And so those kids now are all in, like, their 40s and their 50s. And these guys are hardworking, ambitious guys. So they go get these corporate jobs, and they can make $500,000 a year, $250,000 a year. But because they have these corporate jobs that they'll work 60, 80 hours a week, because when you grow up as a farmer, you got no problem working 60 or 80 hours a week. So what happens, you know, in the farming was hard in the 50s. Hard in the 60s. Today it's easy. But anyways, it's not easy today, but it was way harder back then. You know, the weather forecasts weren't as good. You know, there was no tractors with air conditioning. But these guys they're old timers on the tractors in the 50s and the 60s were so happy they weren't doing it looking at the hind end of a horse, you know, the whole time because they grew up, you know, farming with horses. So then their kids, you know, get this tremendous work ethic, and then, you know, in the 80s, when they're adults, they're like, I can make, you know, all this money working a corporate job and all these hours. I'm just going to do that. And then they get so used to their corporate job that by the time they have their own kids, you know, they're just putting their kids in daycare. Or nowadays, they're just putting their kids in front of an internet device because it's a cheap, inexpensive pacifier and babysitter. And when they're sending them to daycare, you know, a lot of these daycares are using the, you know, the internet device also.
Wow.
So, it's so sad to see the parents dropping kids.
Even if you're getting paid to just sit there and watch kids, you can't do it. You got to give them
I know, that's what I'm saying. Like
tablet.
Child care now, you drop off your kids, and they give them a tablet.
Wow.
And they go and sit down wherever, and they drone away. And then they're forced to play kickball, and you have a few that complain. They get their way, and they get to still play on their tablet. And like,
that's terrible.
But so
kickball is too physical.
Not all daycares, you know, use tablets. But you know, there's going to be a big difference. Like the daycare that's using the tablets, obviously going to be a cheaper daycare, and a daycare that's not using. So there are definitely daycares that are like doing like stellar jobs,
hmm.
but they are expensive because they have a staff that is, you know, very involved, and it takes, you know, a lot of attention. So this is kind of what brings on, you know, so like these, like the average American farmer is in his mid 70s right now, according to, you know, the numbers.
Oh my goodness.
Like owns a farm.
Kind of scary.
Same thing with, like, you know, a lot of these, like, nuclear power plants and, you know, like, so my father-in-law, he's 74. He's a retired, you know, mechanical engineer.
Oh.
So he worked in nuclear power plants most of his life. I mean, the guy is, like, just has so much knowledge. In fact, I'm really disappointed that he's just, like, you know, hanging out. He's retired in Florida, just, you know, watching TV and sitting in his pool, because he should be, like, teaching a bunch of kids, you know, his knowledge.
Hmm.
But I'm very fortunate that when I first bought my house was, I basically bought a fixer-upper. It needed a lot of repair. And when I first bought the house, he spent the better part of a year, he would show up 2 or 3 days a week for a year and just, you know, he would cut all the boards, and I'd be up on the ladders and the scaffolding, you know, and he was, you know, 68, 69 years old, you know, when we got the house, and he, like, just helped me out so much, and he taught me a lot. Just as I was doing this, I was learning all these things, and I also have a geodesic dome, and because he was a fan of Buckminster Fuller, who was, like, you know, the grandfather of geodesic dome houses, you know, here in America, he always wanted to build a geodesic dome, so he was excited to help me work on his house. But he just, you know, helped me with all, like, plumbing, electrical, you know, framing, concrete work, roofing, you know.
How does he know all that stuff just being a
Because he
engineer.
Grew up as a farm kid.
Oh, okay.
Oh, so, yeah, he's not your typical engineer.
Yeah.
So most engineers are pretty useless except for what they're, you know, I'm serious. Like, they, you know, like, you know, oh, I'm an electrical engineer, but, you know, I can't zip up my fly or, you know, change a tire. You know, I'm a mechanical engineer, but I couldn't touch anything electrical because that's not my job. This is another thing that academia has done to, you know, the modern world, is they've compartmentalized everybody.
Yeah.
So everyone has one specific skill and either doesn't have the confidence to try doing something else, wouldn't dare, or that, you know, they're not, they don't have the liability insurance to do something else. It's kind of like these unions. You know, if you, like, are an operator on a machine, you better not put diesel fuel in that machine because that's the luber's job. Or you better not check, you know, you better not clean the tracks off that excavator. That's somebody else's job. You know,
wow.
Crazy stuff like that.
That makes more sense. That seems like something they would do on purpose, like set up jobs and college degrees and stuff like that to be very compartmentalized, because then people are still more dependent.
They're dependent on the industry as well, that they have to keep in the decompartmentalized industry because they only know one little thing, so they have to keep getting that one little thing job.
Well, when we come back, I want to tell you why pork is the other white meat, talking about survival and parasites and whatnot.
Okay, 603-283-6160. It's Free Talk Live. You can call in about whatever is on your mind. It's Free Talk Live. More coming up.
Are you a business owner? Are you confused by the complexity of the tax laws? We can help. I'm Dan Pilla, and I've been helping business owners solve tax problems for over 40 years. My book, The Small Business Tax Guide, shows proven ways to avoid all the common business tax problems. Don't risk your business. Go to danpilla.com to order your copy. That's danpilla.com. Order now and get a free 15-minute call directly with me, a $99 value. Go to danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com.
Are you curious about what might be missing from your diet and supplement choices? Take a free health assessment to identify your possible nutrient deficiencies. As a certified holistic health coach, I will help you assess and prioritize a supplement program based on Dr. Wallach's recommendations. Call Linda at 833-VITAL-90. That number to call is 833-848-2590. That's 833-VITAL-90.
USA News Update. Biden administration officials have not conducted an assessment to determine if Israel is adhering to international law in its conflict with Hamas. State Department spokesman Matthew Miller faced questions about the appropriate use of U.S.-supplied weapons by Israel.
We are engaged in conversations with the Israeli government about steps that they can take to minimize civilian harm.
A New York court has dismissed former President Trump's attempt to contest the gag order imposed on him. Trump's legal team sought to overturn the order preventing him and his attorney attorneys from discussing Judge Arthur Engron's court staff publicly. The appeals court ruled that Trump did not follow the appropriate legal procedure to challenge the gag order and sanctions against him. Retiring from Congress, former House Speaker Kevin McCarthy bid farewell in his final speech on the House floor today.
Thank you for ever giving me this opportunity to serve you. I loved every single day.
Dave Collins, USA News.
Radio? Why should I advertise on radio? There's nothing to look at, no pictures.
Listen, you can do things on radio you couldn't possibly do on TV.
That'll be the day.
All right, watch this. Okay, people, and now when I give you the cue, I want the 700-foot mountain of whipped cream to roll into Lake Michigan, which has been drained and filled with hot chocolate. Then the Royal Canadian Air Force will fly overhead towing a 10-ton maraschino cherry, which will be dropped into the whipped cream to the cheering of 25,000 extras. All right, cue the mountain. Okay, 25,000 cheering extras.
Now, you want to try that on television?
Well...
You see, radio is a very special medium because it stretches the imagination.
Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
Let me tell you a story about Bill. Bill was a normal guy in his 50s. He had back surgery about 2 years ago. Bill was in a lot of pain. He dealt with his pain by taking the Percocets his doctor prescribed for him. Bill took more and more and more of them to help with the pain, until one day the prescriptions weren't enough to get rid of Bill's pain. Then one day Bill found someone to help him get rid of the pain with illegal drugs he didn't need a prescription for. Fast forward to today. Bill lost his job and his family. The only thing he does have is his drug dealer. If you know Bill's story and you don't want to end up like Bill, call the Detox and Treatment Helpline right now to get away and get treatment.
800-296-1327. 800-296-1327. 800-296-1327. Call right now. Help is standing by. 800-296-1327.
We still do email. Drop your email address in the entry box at freetalklive.com, and you'll be kept in the loop with Free Talk Live.
That you control, and 603-283-6160 is the phone number for you to call in if you have anything you want to bring up. That's 603-283-6160. And with you in the studio tonight, you've got me, Bonnie,
Jay,
and Joa.
And I want to tell you about ForkFest 2024. Join liberty-minded voluntarists, anarchists, and libertarians from June 13th through the 16th for the 8th annual ForkFest at Rogers Campground in the beautiful White Mountains of New Hampshire. ForkFest is a fork of the Porcupine Freedom Festival, which has sold out in recent years. ForkFest happens the weekend before the Porcupine Freedom Festival. ForkFest is decentralized, which means that there's no ticket cost and no one is in charge. All you have to do to join the fun is reserve your camping site, RV site, or motel room with Rogers Campground for June 13th through the 16th. You can find out more at the unofficial website, forkfest.party. You can also connect with other attendees on the ForkFest Telegram and Matrix chat rooms, as well as the ForkFest forum. You can find links to those at forkfest.party. We hope to see you there June 13th through the 16th. forkfest.party. We have some people we know in the community this year that really want to make ForkFest great again.
Yeah, myself and my friend Colin, we've been actually talking and planning on doing some stuff at ForkFest. I would like to have some presentation. I plan on being at ForkFest, and I'm probably going to be pretty low key at ForkFest. I can't afford to spend, you know, like 10 days up at Rogers Campground. Last year it was just, I lost a lot of work and it was expensive to have, you know, somebody, you know, take care of my farm while I was gone, and like no gardening weeding got done, and it was just, it really slowed us down a lot. So, but I definitely, would like to do some Fork Fest.
That'd be awesome.
And then we'll probably just going to go up and tent camp, you know, the last couple of days of Pork Fest, you know, just up by the kid thing, because I'm just going to do stuff with my kids.
Yeah.
And, you know, for the couple of days of Pork Fest.
They love running around there, don't they? I always see Jay's kids just all over Pork. Well, at least your daughter. It. Yeah.
Yep.
Maybe the boy can't go as far, but I always see your daughter running
around.
Oh,
he can hang with anybody now.
He seems pretty chill.
He just loves to climb. He just wants to climb everything.
wow.
And he is like a daredevil, and he wants to climb on stuff and jump off of it. Definitely very much different, you know, than my daughter. My daughter still is not as brave, and she's, you know, almost 2 years older than my son. And he is just super brave, and you gotta, like, it's like, another thing I've been telling people is like, you know, like the free rangers, I'm like, you know, parents, like, you know, or, you know, I'm like, you gotta understand, mom and dad are the frontal lobe until that frontal lobe's developed and made all its neurological pathways,
that makes sense.
You know, to the brain. So, you know, you are the frontal lobe, so you really gotta monitor them and pay attention to them, especially the boys, because they're crazy.
Yeah. I guess I haven't seen them in a while, because I feel like the last time I saw him, you were asking me to not let him, like, fall over on the trampoline. So he wanted to be there while the other kids were jumping, but he was just kind of like a baby. Like, I was just holding him up, and now he's, like, climbing trees or something.
Yeah, well, he hasn't climbed any trees yet. And, you know, we've got some awesome trees. This is New Hampshire. I mean, I grew up I grew up 60 miles south of right where we are right now, Massachusetts. It's basically the same landscape.
Mm-hmm.
And there are, I was telling my 12-year-old nephew that I used to climb to the top of that tree right there at the farm, and he's like, that thing's like 100 foot in the air.
Whoa.
I'm like, yeah, I know.
I didn't do stuff like that. My older brother would climb trees that were, like, way higher than the houses, but I loved climbing trees as a kid. Like, I had my favorite ones, and me and my friends in the neighborhood, because I am a Zoomer, I'm pretty sure, or Generation Z, or the last year of Millennial, whatever, but everybody likes to say, oh, Gen X is the only generation that was able to just run around till the stoplights or streetlights came on, but I did that, and me and my friends, we would do this thing where whoever could climb to the top of a tree owned that tree, quote unquote. It was just a stupid rule, and
the
I owned all the trees in our neighborhood.
Nice. So last segment, we got to talk about pigs a little bit. So we had mentioned about raising pigs in concrete floors. So here's the thing that happens when the pigs are raised on concrete floors. All the outfits I've seen where there are these hog operations, whether I've seen pictures, I've been to a few of them. There was one that we used to, when I worked in Colorado, my stepfather had a custom harvest crew, and we also had a manure spreading operation. So we had like half a dozen manure trucks. So there was a hog farm that we cleaned up, that we did the manure, and it had a concrete floor, but there's always bedding. So they would use like sand or wood chips, they didn't really like using like straw and corn stalks, because the pigs would eat that. So there's a big hog outfit, New York State. It's in New York. I can't remember what town, but I was there a few years, about 15 years ago, and they used like sawdust, you know, wood sawdust, because they had, you know, sawdust mill not far. So basically what they would do is there would be like, so the building was like, I think, 40 foot wide for where the hog pen was, and it was about 260 foot long. And what they had is they had these 20-foot gates, like, every 50 or 60 foot. So they would close the section off, and then they would take a skid steer or a loader, and they would push all the manure out, and then they would add more bedding. But they would go in there and keep adding bedding. So they weren't just on concrete.
They're trying to reduce infections and them being amongst their own feces as often as they usually are in their nature.
Right. So but they were definitely, you know, it was, they had to, like, every day they would take a section of this thing, and like, not every day, but every couple of days they'd take a section of this hog barn and they would clean it out.
Yep.
Or twice
kinda
a
like
week.
Kind of like a giant pig hamster cage.
Exactly. So anyways, and the reason they want to raise these pigs in these barns, this all started with government-subsidized
right.
food operations. And so the same thing, you know, so you got all your cheap GMO food and your synthetic manure, which is, you know, today they call it, you know, just fertilizer. You know, your synthetic fertilizer that's made, you know, it's petroleum-based and made from other chemicals. And
it's faux-newer.
Faux-newer, yeah, I guess. So, so if you take a hog, it takes the way that like Bardo Farm raises their hogs is they're just out on a forest. Well, or a lot of them, the way it's set up now, they have a third of their pen or a quarter of their pen is like basically just pasture, and then the rest of it's all forest. And
yeah, they can just forage anything they want.
So basically, they'll have like 20 feeder hogs or 30 feeder hogs on, you know, I don't know, 15 acres, 7 acres, 12 acres, you know, whatever. They're all different size. And then they'll like, they'll move them to like another pen, which will be, you know, a 6 acre one. And then another one that'll be like a 20 acre. And, you know, they got like 300 acres up there or something. So, anyways, that meat, when you buy that meat, it's really red. Like when I'm at Pork Fest cooking like a country style rib, for example, a lot of people like don't see a pork cut that is like red like steak, like beef. Mm-hmm. And some people will be like, what kind of cut is that? Is that beef? Because and even people are like, well, that looks like a pork chop, but I've never seen it so red before. And I'm like, so I tell them this story. I say they have red meat because these pigs were raised on New Hampshire dirt, New Hampshire
right.
soil,
right.
and there's a lot of red clay in New Hampshire.
Really?
Yes.
So that's so weird because, like, you don't see it. Like,
it's under
surface.
The topsoil.
Oh, okay.
So if you dig a hole anywhere around my property, you got a couple inches of topsoil, like in the forest, and then you have about a foot to, like, maybe 4 foot of clay, and then it's, like, sand.
It's weird because,
you get a metal detector and try to find some gold in that clay.
It's so weird looking, but in Alabama, I've always said that New Hampshire looks a lot like the landscape of Alabama to me, except without the kudzu, which is like this crazy vine that grows on everything that was like an invasive species,
yeah.
And the red dirt, like you just like are driving and you see on the side of the road red dirt.
Yeah, there's deposits here and there that I don't see as common as what you're describing, but I've seen it a lot.
So there's a lot of red dirt on Barrow Farm. There's a lot of red dirt in Henniker. There's a lot of red dirt in Ware.
I've seen it.
I know there's a lot of red dirt in Winchester just south of here.
Is red dirt good or bad?
Well, so the reason it's red is because there's iron in it.
Mm.
And so, the reason our blood is red is because of iron. Basically, the only difference between chlorophyll and blood is chlorophyll's in a plant and it's magnesium. Blood, there's iron in it. So when you raise pigs, they really need iron. And what happens is the reason they want to raise them in an enclosed facility, so when Tyson raised hogs, it's thousands of hogs in a barn that is covered, so they're not getting direct sunlight. So these white pigs, and this is also why there's all the pigs are white now, so like a lot of the heirloom pigs have all kinds of colors and spots. So a lot of like Bardo Farms pigs, you know, some are all white, but, you know, I don't know how many of them, you know, have spots. They call them colored pigs. They're like heritage-looking pigs.
I rarely see them there.
They are there.
I've never been there.
Anyways,
the
reason the corporate hog operations put them indoors is because if you can keep pigs at like, I think it's like 60 degrees, you can keep them at a specific humidity, and then you just keep them under artificial light 24 hours a day, or they'll shut off the light for like 2 hours a day or 3 hours a day, like all different operations, you know, do different things, is because they can basically feed the heck out of these hogs, genetically modified, government subsidized, whatever is the cheapest feed. So generally it's corn and soybeans.
Mm-hmm.
And the soybeans and the corn, as we know, they dump tons of chemicals on them. They put Roundup on them, and because the Roundup doesn't really work so well, they add some kind of stinger to the Roundup, and like they call these stingers like Warrior, or like, you
what
know,
a stinger. What's that
a
mean?
Stinger is like a cup of this nasty poison that they dump into the, you know,
that's worse than
sprayer.
Roundup.
Yes, because Roundup doesn't work. It's for specific, like, you know, weeds.
Wow.
I don't know if stinger is like the appropriate term for what these things are, but when I worked on the farm out in Colorado, we would put this stinger with a Roundup called Warrior. And Warrior killed this thistle type thorn weed that was like really nasty, and they called it binder weed, and it would like just totally screw up the combine. Or if you got it in the alfalfa, like the cows, it would be like this thorny stuff that, and the cows wouldn't want to eat it. Maybe. Or it would, the cows couldn't eat it because it was pretty nasty stuff. And so anyways, when you basically raise a hog to market weight, which we're going to say is like a 220-pound hanging weight carcass. So that would be like with no guts, basically bled out. Maybe that would be like a 350-pound, finished hog, or 330-pound. It takes an outfit that's doing it like the way it's been done for years, over a year to raise a hog to that size. Mm. Well, these big commercial outfits, they can raise a hog to like in 4 or 6 months. To like a similar weight.
Yeah, with the specific humidity, right. Light,
with all temperature. Those, with all those things.
It kind of seems torturous, like,
well,
to have the lights on almost 24/7.
I mean, they don't know any better. That's their life. I wouldn't say it's torturous, but what you end up with...
It doesn't allow those muscles to take a break, so I guess it develops... So
what you end up with is a really tender... You end up with tender meat because they're not moving a lot. They're not running around. They're just kind of like hanging out, and they have just food, all the time. And then what they have to do is they have to put essentially a synthetic iron and synthetic lysine.
And how good is that for you to eat?
Well... I'm not sure. I mean, but the synthetic iron is that they put in the feed is basically enough synthetic iron so that the pigs don't get sick.
Yeah.
But the reason that this commercial pork is white is because the pigs are anemic.
Oh, my goodness.
Because they're not on dirt. Pigs, need to be on dirt. They are like Mother Nature's plow. Like, you put pigs on, like... just some ground, and they're going to rip it all up.
It's part of their diet to consume their feces 7 times over.
Yeah, I was just thinking, pigs, without being able to go into mud and play in mud, that sounds not very nice.
So, they'll definitely be consuming their feces in these corporate hog operations. You go look at my pig pen right now, and since Warner hasn't been there in a couple, in about a month to clean up the pig poop, there's, like, big piles of pig poop and, like, 4 corners. I got 3 pigs that are on like probably about an acre.
Do you have to like stop them from trying to eat it?
No, they don't eat it.
No.
Because
they don't want to.
Because they got all kinds of dirt to dig in.
Yeah.
Now when it's thousands of pigs on a few acres of concrete, with all their shavings and bedding, they're constantly going and up, rutting through their own, excrement.
Because
that's what's there.
Well, it's interesting because, in the summertime, they'll go for the, the poopy puddle and cool down. But then in the winter, that poopy puddle is actually warm because of the bacteria in it is keeping it warm. You can see it steaming everywhere.
But
so it's just a balance. I'm not saying that it's unhealthy for them.
So the puddle you're talking about, if it's an overcrowded area, it'll be a very, very poopy puddle. But pigs are actually pretty clean. They are not really interested in pooping and pee and like right where they're eating or they're sleeping.
Like animals are so much smarter about that than people think. Like Coconut, my dog, it's really hard to convince him to poop or pee in our yard. He's always like, I just got to go like to the next yard.
Right. Well, he wants his scent. All over the place, because he's a male. That's his deal. So anyways, pork, the other white meat, was essentially propaganda because with the farm subsidies, which has just done nothing but make our food just terrible, has degraded our food massively, farm subsidies. Yep. And everything that's subsidized is the stuff you shouldn't eat.
Yeah, like corn syrup, so we're not having regular sugar. It just tastes worse.
Yeah.
They're making everything out of corn. Like,
I think it's maybe even more addictive. Yeah.
Oh, really?
Well, look, think of it like this. Sugar. The sugar is what we crave, and if we're getting something other than sugar, though it has, like, the dietary sugars, it's just that we're not getting that pure sugar, so we crave it more.
You want to keep drinking it?
Yeah, you want, yeah, exactly.
Wow. So
purity is important in our diets.
Pork, the other white meat. Propaganda was because when they started this stuff in the 60s, people were like, what's this white meat?
And then it used to be just really red, pink.
So another thing too is like the Tamworth pig has an inch and a half of fat on its back. So that was like 70, 80, 100 years ago was like the number one type of pig that was raised in the United States because everybody fried their food in pig lard.
Yeah.
And it wasn't really till, you know, the 50s and the 60s where you had the Crisco, which was basically, you know, hydrogenated vegetable oil, you know, leftover kind of garbage from,
and they convinced people it's healthier than pig lard.
So
they lied.
Well, they did this in public schools with home ec class.
They also did it with early
I remember Crisco being used in my home ec class.
Yeah, and they also, there was all this propaganda of, they would give you free cookbooks, and they would say, oh, a good housewife uses Crisco, and, you know, here's this free cookbook, and they would... You know, and Crisco was like a fraction of the price of the pig lard. And then today's modern, like Berkshire, what do they call them? Yorkshire land race kind of pigs that you like see, these are all white ones. You know, they have, like, when you look at the pork chop, there's like 3/8 of an inch of fat in a lot of those pork chops. And another thing, too, is the commercial hog industry, they don't want pigs that are huge. They just don't want them big because they're a lot of work to deal with. And when you grow a hog, for only, 5, 6, or 7 months, it doesn't have a lot of fat on them. When you grow them out,
they don't care about that anymore because, like, fat is also delicious flavor if you're eating, like, a pork chop.
But that's not, there's not a lot of industry demand for fat because the animal-based fat has been replaced with all of this hydrogenated seed oil stuff that is actually terrible. One of the things that are making us super, super, super sick.
And super sick, super fat.
When they package these with pork and chicken now, is that they're using blending up bugs, and they're using that as filler. So
to make,
keep
to
an eye
fat
on the ingredients. I forget the exact
chitin
scientific terms.
Is one of the ingredients that is like chitin is basically crickets.
Crickets. What? Yep.
Chitin.
Chitin. C-A-I-T-E-N. Chit. Yeah. Chitin.
Radio, yeah.
I believe.
Oh. Wow.
And there's like Lycoso or something like that. It's like, it's locusts, so it's like, that's grasshoppers.
Whoa.
Right?
Yeah, I haven't heard of Lycoso. But yeah, there's all kinds of stuff. But basically, the bottom line is you shouldn't be buying, you know, like another thing I'm like with parents, like, you know, so children are born with like all of the IQ they're going to get, and it's very hard to increase. But you can really decrease it.
Poisoning them with seed oil.
Well, one way you can decrease it is you can give them fake fat, like the bad fat, seed oil fats, right? Mm-hmm. So this is your country crock, your buttery spreads, vegetable spreads, Crisco, all the
vegetable
seed oils, all the vegetable oils, the hydrogenated
Other than, like,
oils.
You can feed them butter, which is good for them,
My kids eat
olive oil.
Olive oil, if you're not going to heat it up, is fine.
Coconut oil.
And I don't really trust olive oil. Coconut oil, it's something. I'm not a big fan of coconut oil so much either. Just
really?
Because, well, just a lot of the production of coconut oil and the fact that it's so commercialized, and it's really, you know, it's not like that.
It's one of the healthier oils, but I don't think it's the tastiest.
Yeah, I don't really love it for taste, but ghee is my number one thing.
So ghee's really good. The beef suet, the pork lard, you know, the chicken fat, like the chickens I raise, everybody raves about how fatty they are and how good they are.
Yep, I had two for Thanksgiving and they were so good.
And so we've done a good job with chickens, it turns out. And it's so much fun to raise chickens with your kids. But getting back to the kids' IQ is like, I see these parents and they're like giving their kids cereal. And cereal is just such garbage. Like,
so delicious.
Any cereal.
Sometimes. I don't like it.
But it's just, and this is another reason why you're seeing, like, low IQs and all kinds of health issues and all kinds of problems with city people.
Missing nutrients.
And people who are, you know, essentially, you know, buying all their food with, you know, food stamps.
Like, I'm not going to say, I know someone that their kid refuses to eat anything else but, like, his favorite cereal. And I'm like,
what's his favorite cereal?
I forget what it was. Some fruity Cheerio-y thingy.
Yeah.
But,
and
you know,
the thing about, we were talking about this last night with Lori, Nikki, and I. I think it's so weird when people say, oh, my kid refuses to eat anything else but X. Well, they will figure out that they need to eat at some point.
Just
if you're
have
just
it
not
enough.
Giving them
well, they're just going to die. I mean, they might get like leukemia young or something. I'm not even joking. Like, you don't have the right nutrients to grow bigger. You're going to develop some sort of problem.
I thought you were saying they're going to die instead of eating the Cheerios. I was like, no, I think that they'll just eat something, you know?
So if you're literally feeding your kid candy, which is, you know, sugar is a gateway drug. Right?
Yep.
And if you guys want to learn some stuff about sugar, there's a really good lecture out there called Sugar, the Bitter Truth. And then there's another one called Sugar, the Bitter Truth 2.0. And, like, this guy, he gets into the science about the addictiveness behind sugar, and he's like, and how a calorie is not a calorie. And he talks about the difference between, like, cane sugar, beet sugar, you know, and beet sugar is really bad. Beet sugar is, like, tons of Roundup, you know. And, and then he gets into the high fructose corn syrup, and then he gets into these synthetic-like sugars.
The safest sugar that I would condone, like, but I do consume other sugars, but the safest sugar would be maple syrup. Because it's like,
maple
you're just boiling down sap. That's it.
It's one of the best, too. It's just so good.
Pure maple syrup, too.
I plan on doing it this upcoming season.
So the thing with maple syrup is a complex carbohydrate chain. So it is actually food for, like, the brain. And it's really good for
Because your
brain
needs sugar. I was just learning about this, that sugar is, like, the number one thing that your brain uses.
Yeah, so there was a Andrew Huberman. I don't know if you guys know who he is, but he's, like, a really good guy to listen to. He's a doctor. And he talks about I've been listening to a lot of his stuff. And he was talking about how, like, your glucose level can basically affect, like, your brain function and what your glucose level is. And a lot of people are using, like, energy drinks and, you know, candy and stuff like that to get their glucose level up. But the bottom line is, parents, if you're feeding your kids cereal, if you're feeding them processed food, if you're feeding them stuff out of a can like Chef Boyardee and ramen noodles and chips and, you know, just that kind of letting them drink juice of any kind, like you
pasteurized crap.
Honestly, any fruit juices are not really good for you.
Even if it's just a juice, pear, or orange, you are diminishing your child's IQ. You are setting them up to be lower IQ.
Yeah, when you separate it from its like skin, is what you mean, right?
When you juice the whole thing.
603-283-6160. More coming up. We'll continue this conversation. It's Free Talk Live.
The Silver Lungs Generator is the only all-encompassing professional class product for producing endless colloidal and ionic silver solutions right from the convenience of your home. With recent regulations threatening the sale of silver-based supplements, now you can secure yourself and your family by producing your own silver solutions anywhere, anytime. You can have the peace of mind knowing that you can create endless supply of silver anytime, anywhere, for any application. The Silver Lungs Generator is a one-time purchase that requires no maintenance nor replacement parts for the life of the unit. This product was designed to be an invaluable part of your vital preparations. For a detailed report on the differences between ionic silver, colloidal silver, and what most silver solution manufacturers are producing, please visit our website at www.silverlungs.com for more information on why you should be producing your own silver solutions right from your home forever.
Who listens to radio at night? EMTs, truck drivers, law enforcement, and many other hardworking people just like you, buying products and services from companies just like yours. Many companies owe their success to radio. It's the engaging medium. Call 877-996-4327 or email advertise@gcnlive.com. That's advertise@gcnlive.com.
Are you afraid to go to the mailbox because of letter after letter from the IRS? Are they stacking on more and more penalties and interest? By now, you know the problem won't go away on its own. Don't let the IRS chase you to your grave with penalties and interest and liens and levies. You need real help now. I'm Dan Pilla. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I help thousands of people solve tax problems they thought couldn't be solved. I can help you, too. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com. danpilla.com.